So, what I'm going to we're going to talk a little bit about our breathing, about the anatomy of our breathing, because it's actually, when we talk about the breath, we've probably, you may have some internal image of your breathing processes, or you may not, but it's really helpful to have an image, a picture in mind that's accurate, yeah, that's reasonably accurate of what's actually happening physiologically, if you like, and anatomically of the breathing. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And later on this morning, we're going to do a body scan around the breath, so we can work with that more experientially. So this is the kind of theory, if you like, that we will then take into our experiential work. So I'm going to just pass these around, so you can maybe out. There's not loads of them, so have a little look and pass them around. Actually, that one could go with as well. So do change position if you need to. So we're breathing, we actually breathe because our cells need oxygen. That's why we breathe. We breathe in order to receive oxygen, and our cells breathe. Every single cell in the body, just people can look at them and circulate them. So have a little look and we can... So we breathe because our bodies need oxygen, yeah. And we have a process of internal respiration, which is the cells themselves breathing. So you could imagine this pulse of expanding and condensing is actually happening on a cellular level. Every single cell is pulsing, opening and closing, taking in and giving back. And there's an idea, the idea that one could actually experience that, one could get so sensitive that we could actually experience the internal respiration. We breathe something like 12 to 18 times a minute, the lungs. So this is now the, if you like, external respiration. We breathe some 12 to 18 times a minute. And the main muscle that we use, and so this is really good to look at this picture for breathing, or ideally, the main muscle that we use is our diaphragm that sits between our chest and our belly. And it's a bit like, you could think of it as being like an umbrella with a handle. It's quite a nice image, a dome shape. And when we breathe in, our diaphragm contracts and it broadens and it draws down. So could you feel when you were earlier on, some of you had your hand on your belly, you feel that your belly naturally expands when you breathe in, yeah? Could you feel that? You don't actually need to, sometimes when you get that instruction, people start pushing their belly out, you don't need to do that, it's just a natural movement. The belly slightly swells as the diaphragm moves down. And it's like the action of a bellows, so our lungs, the capacity of the chest has got bigger, and so the air pressure in your lungs is then less than the air pressure outside, so there's a partial vacuum in the lungs, and that pulls air in until the air pressure is equal. So that's the process of breathing. Mm-hmm. Our lungs, you often think the lungs are quite small. Your lungs go right down to the base of your ribs. They come out to the front, to the sides and the back. They're big, so it's quite a big structure and very moist, spongy. And they're acting like a bellows, opening and closing. So when we breathe out, breathe in, the diaphragm descends. The space opens, and air is drawn in. When we breathe out, the opposite happens. The diaphragm actually relaxes and it, if you like, it swells or migrates back up towards the heart. And so the air pressure in the lungs is now greater than the air pressure outside. And so air leaves, air is breathed out. When the air is breathed in, the exchange happens is that through the alveoli, the oxygen leaves the lungs, passes into the bloodstream, and carbon dioxide passes from the bloodstream back into the lungs to be breathed out. So this is happening all the time. This is very, very basic. If anybody's studied anatomy, you'll know much more. But just to kind of get a sense, I think for me that idea of the bellows is quite helpful, actually. Yeah, just to have that sense of the lungs opening and closing like bellows. I don't know if anybody's ever played a piano accordion. Do you know the instrument I mean? Yeah. If you ever pick one up, you can't close it or open it more faster than it can go. Yeah, it's like it's got a pace it wants to go at. And if you make it go faster or when you force it, it makes a really horrible noise and it feels horrible. If you ever get a chance to have a go. So there's a sort of pace, and you could say that's the same with our breath. It's got its natural pace. There is a momentum, a rhythm, music to it even. So that's a little bit about the diaphragm. There's some openings to our diaphragm. So if we're breathing optimally, and I'll come on to that in a moment, if we're breathing fairly well, our diaphragm massages the heart. It's connected to the heart by fascia or connective tissue, so there's a massaging action on the heart. Our vena cava, which is a blood return back to the heart, passes through the diaphragm. So if we're breathing well with the diaphragm, that pumping action of the diaphragm helps the blood flow back to the heart. And it's also, if you look at the picture there, I said that it's like an umbrella. And there's a handle. Those of you with the picture, can you see there's a handle to the diaphragm going down to the lower back? Can you see that? And so our diaphragm actually has got tendinous attachments to, I think it's fourth lumbar through to, I can't remember what it is now. It's on there. Anyway, it's about three or four lumbar vertebrae. I can't remember. Anyway, it's attached to your four lumbar vertebrae. It's actually attached to them. So this means that when we breathe, our back, our spine, is actually being affected. It's actually being moved by the breath. Yeah. Our spine is actually being massaged, oscillated by the breath. So this is really important for everybody. But, you know, maybe if you have a lower back problem, it's an interesting thing to be aware of. Because small movements of the spine help to keep the spine fluid. Mobile, yeah. So that's quite interesting, and we can sort of touch on that in the mindful movement later on. So I'm going to say a little bit about optimal breathing. Yeah. Rather than good and bad breathing, we're going to use the term optimal breathing. Ideally, the main muscle we use to breathe is our diaphragm. It does some. Ideally, just in a situation like this where we're just sitting passively, our diaphragm will be doing something like 75-80% of the breathing work, the muscular effort. It's designed to breathe 24/7, as they say. Yeah, it's designed for that, and it's got some support from our abdominal muscles and also the intercostal muscles between our ribs. They do some work of the breathing, but the prime mover is the diaphragm, or ideally is the diaphragm. Yeah. Now, what can happen, and this is very common, is that our diaphragm doesn't do the full job of breathing. And what happens is you start using muscles here to breathe. When you clenched your fist, you might have felt that. Did you feel the breathing came up higher? Anybody? Yeah. You couldn't breathe, okay? Yeah. So there's various ways we restrict our breathing. There's quite a few ways we can do that, but they all share a common pattern, which is we breathe high up, we breathe fast, shallow, yeah, and we don't take, so we're not breathing into the base of the lungs. And we're using all these muscles up here, which are called the secondary muscles for breathing. And they're designed for kind of short-term backup. You know, when you go running, you're running up a hill or something, you need to breathe more deep. These muscles are for that, short-term. They're not really designed as long-term to be used all the time. But what can happen is, through various reasons, we restrict the breathing, we tighten the belly, we tighten the abdomen. The diaphragm is not moving, and maybe has lost its ability to move. And everything starts to come very high up. And we start to breathe high and fast, you know, shallow. And this has got quite a lot of consequences, this shallow breathing. It's what we do, you know, somebody that's stressed, if you look at their breathing, often it will be like that. Or if we're contracting against pain or discomfort, often we can see that show up in this high breathing. So the question is, what do we do about that? Our breathing is set at the level of the autonomic nervous system, so you can't decide I'm going to breathe well today. It's not an option. Yeah, because the breathing is, it's not set consciously. Yeah, so we have to kind of get into it through the back door. A good image is the way we're breathing is a bit like a thermostat is set. You know, it might be set on 20 degrees or something. If we want to change the breathing pattern, we have to get to that thermostat of the breath. And we can't do that through will, basically. So what we have to do is do something that gets into the level of the nervous system. That's what we're doing. We have to reach into the nervous system. And we do that by... There's two things I would say that we do. One is relaxing, really relaxing, deeply relaxing. So we calm and soothe the nervous system, and we kind of reach into the part of the nervous system where we can begin to, as it were, change that thermostat of the breath. So deep, good, optimal breathing is the result of relaxation, yeah. Deeply relaxed, a relaxed body, a relaxed mind is how we begin to affect the breathing. So we're going to be really working with that, you know, a lot this week, and the body scans are really great for that. So yeah, it's not something one can will or effort, but actually it comes through relaxation. And I think the other thing is also you're opening the body, so that's why movement can be really good. You know, if your diaphragm is very tight and weak, there might also opening the body, finding ways to open the body so that you can, so you've got access to your diaphragm. So you know, where we'll touch on that also in, to some extent in the mindful movement that we're doing.